Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're so glad you are back here. Today we got a full house with a really wonderful show dealing with the new hands-on biodynamic organic mental
agriculture course.
Okay, fantastic. For veterans and everybody else.
With passion.
All right. We'll get to the description here in a minute. This is Scott Terry, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Terry. That's me. I am a therapist. I run the Arden Counseling Center. And if you've got any questions or would like more information about the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance, to become more part of that, or to become some more information about this program, you could email me at mentalhealthmatters@KRUUFM or scott@ardentcenter.com. If you have any interest in being on the program or have some topics of interest, please let me know. You are listening to KRUU 100.1 in your FM dial, and the website is back up, I've been told, and all the archives are there. Fantastic. So let's get on to our exciting show. We're going to start back with our guest from last week, John Miller. John, tell us about yourself.
Hi, Scott. I'm from born and raised in Minnesota and moved here 6 years ago with my wife and son after about 9 or 10 years in the U.S. military and about 10 or 12 years in social work in upstate New York, and then a 10-year hitch in the prison system as a staff member, I must say.
Ah, okay. All right. All right.
That tried me quite deeply, and I survived it. And a couple years after that, I worked in the VA hospital in Wilkes-Barre doing drug alcohol treatment. Then 6 years ago, like I said, we moved out to the university here.
And we're in Fairfield, Iowa, but people could be listening to this from anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. We've got people who listen to this wonderful program. John, why is it you're passionate about this subject today?
My passion comes from my experience at the end of my military decade, roughly, that I spent in the military.
You're going to tell us your story.
Right.
All right. Well, let's go around the room, and then I want to hear your story.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
I'm Timaya. People call me Tim in short. I'm from India. I'm the assistant professor at the Sustainable Living Department at Maharashtra University of Management. I moved to Fairfield last year. Prior to that, I was the advisor for the government of Bhutan for 6 years. Bhutan would be the first country in 2020 to be 100% organic. I've been advising different international organizations and United Nations in organic farming and low-cost agriculture and biodynamic agriculture in various countries. So my passion is to train people in low-cost organic farming techniques.
And that's what we're going to hear about today.
Yes.
Is a program that you're creating here at Maharishi University of Management in this low-cost agriculture.
Yeah, it's a 9-month certificate course, which I'll discuss in the later part of this show, on what this course is all about, who can enroll this course, when are we going to start, what are the different components of this course, what is the uniqueness of this course, all this stuff we'll discuss.
Fantastic.
And I'm Steve Langrud, and I work on startup projects for the Maharishi University of Management, and I have a private practice where I'm a workplace consultant, particularly interested in career and life transitions. And over the last 25 years, I've worked with about 15,000 people on making the kind of transitions that Tim and John are going to talk about in this ag program.
And you've also made a transition, as you said, from your previous life in being a dean at Grinnell, and you escaped, and you're on to bigger and better things.
Well, that's true, but I think, you know, it's a moment when I had to look seriously about what I was asking other people to do in terms of making big changes, taking big risks, and I thought, if I can't do that for myself, I can't ask them to do it.
Yeah.
And so it was really a pivotal moment about 10 years ago where I was looking at a beautiful campus and said, I think I have to do something else.
It's amazing. And I love the fact that we can all be integral to what we're talking about. So congratulations to everybody. So why don't we come back to John? John, tell us your story about why this kind of area fascinates you and why you're so intrigued in supporting it.
All right. As I mentioned, I was born and raised in Minnesota and entered the Air Force Academy in 1965, graduated in 69, then had 3 years of duty in Texas in some fields that were not of great interest, the Public Information Office and Management Engineering. Then this new field of race relations opened, and I quickly volunteered, thinking this is a great place to be of service. I served at Kelly Air Force Base in San Antonio for a year, then was transferred to Utapao, Thailand. This was, of course, during the Vietnam War, and served my last 16-plus months at Utapao before discharge. This was a B-52 bomber base. I serviced the crews and everyone else, all the support people on base, about 6,000 servicemen and women. My duty was to provide an 18-hour mandatory race relations training program. This was because of the fairly intense racial conflicts happening throughout the military and, of course, in the civilian world back then. Violence erupted on a number of institutions, and the Department of Defense said, we need to do something about it. They created this program. 1972, I believe it was, in the fall. I was in one of the first classes in 1973, and then at Utapao developed the program along with two other instructors, NCOs, that were working for me. And we proceeded to teach this to as many of the 6,000 servicemen and women as we could reach in the span of the 16 months. Very exciting duty, great chance to be of service, to explain about prejudice, discrimination, the history of poor race relations and the emergence of some improved relations. And things were going well until after about a year or so, I began to find myself experiencing a great deal of stress. And it manifested for me in just a feeling of mental fragileness. It's been obviously 40-some years, and I can't recall my exact symptoms. And like so many servicemen and women, I didn't want to go to the official mental health route and have a record of this treatment, because it can affect careers, of course. However, the base psychiatrist was a tennis partner of mine, and I felt comfortable approaching him, asking if I could see him casually. Unfortunately, he said it had to be official, on the record. I said, thanks, but no thanks. Went to my supervisor and Major Paul Anderson, spoke with him, said, I need some help if I'm going to leave the military in 6 months' time with some good mental stability. He said he would help me get out of the duty if I needed to, but he said, you might want to try meditation. What a surprise. This is in the periphery of the war zone. This is an Air Force officer, career officer, who practiced transcendental meditation. He had not shared that with me prior to that moment. Now, he was not a governor. He was not a teacher of TM. But he said that we had a couple of instructors that came from Bangkok to our base once a month, taught meditation, the asanas, yoga asanas, the pranayama, breathing practices, and so forth, and free of charge. This was an official recreation activity in the Daily Bulletin, which was rather amazing for me. Needless to say, I began the practice. It was, I would say, looking back on it, similar enough to the transcendental meditation approach. It was not the same, but similar enough that I derived quite profound benefit from it. Settled me down quite significantly so that I stayed in the duty. Upon discharge, I thought, I'd like to find some more of this kind of training. He had not pushed TM, so I didn't go that route. Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I was living, I happened to find an Indian gentleman, Usherbhut Arya, who taught just an excellent approach to meditation and yoga and so forth. I began studying with him, but also continued having some rather significant difficulties. Took a trip to see my Air Force buddies for a month that fall. Began having some suicidal impulses, very alarming. Began having some incidents of violent impulses, again, very extremely alarming. Where is this coming from? What's going on? I got back home, and this was, keep in mind, it was 5 years before the vet centers opened. This was 1974. They opened in 79. So I didn't know where to go to get help. I remembered such fine experiences on my grandparents' farm in Windom, Minnesota. Called my uncle, said, could I work on the farm? He said, sure. I came down and spent the first of 3 seasons there, the fall and the spring harvest and planting seasons. Really became, literally, if I could say, grounded by the experience. And, of course, I was doing my meditation program at the same time, deriving benefit from that, but the opportunity to participate in bringing life to the crops, caring for the animals, being in a very peaceful, quiet setting had quite a profound effect, quite a profound effect. So between those two, it went a long ways to restoring what I had lost during that experience, especially in Thailand. Continued the practice of the meditation over the years since. Violent impulses still continued to emerge, not as profound as upon discharge, but they were still there, troubling. Went to a couple of civilian therapists in later years, both of whom said, this is post-traumatic stress. And I was a bit surprised that it could linger so long. I must say that it really wasn't until coming here, learning TM, learning the siddhis and yogic flying, the more advanced form of meditation, that I found the symptoms, the violent impulses, the strong anger, really going into what I would call remission. So there is something different about the TM approach, I would say, from the previous methods I had been practicing, that seems to address that PTS more deeply.
That's great. And then, so what we're talking about here today, though, is regarding the farming for veterans.
Right.
From
right.
your perspective, that you're promoting, which is a little different than what Tim's suggesting, but you found this really helpful, sort of, you think the two worlds, the meditation with the farming, the literal grounding, so to speak, as you say, was a great way to have both sides, because it really is multifaceted. Whatever condition's going on, to look at what are we creating from the condition. So people know that I often say, it's not what the problem is, it's what I'm going to do with the problem. What am I going to create from what's going on? That anything could be good or bad, depending on how I apply it. Even the worst traumatic thing, if I learn to apply it good, then it could have benefit. If it's something really good, let's say exercise, if I apply it in the wrong way, it could be unhelpful. But learning how to apply something in a way that works for me and combining the full spectrum of not just meditating, but meditation and then action, of doing something where it makes a difference in the world. And you feel like you're making a difference. You have a greater sense of purpose. One of my favorite people I always bring in, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, and looking at that greater sense of difference that you could make literally by working with the crops and the animals and having that sense of purpose and vibed, literally see growing in what you're doing.
Right. And actually about 8 or 10 months ago, when I got wind of this plan to have something available for farmers, veteran farmers, I should say, on campus, it really got me excited. Like, this is a chance where I could, in a sense, continue working in the same vein as I did upon discharge from the military, but now working with others who are also finding a similar support from the combination of farming coupled with the transcendental meditation approach. And so Dr. Tamaya, being spearheading this drive, I spoke with him and just got very interested in the opportunity to give back a little bit from my own experience in this very productive
and again, seeing it in this multifaceted way. So we're going to listen. I want to hear, Tim, what you have to say. Dr. Tim here in a second. You are listening to KRUU, the great KRUU, 100.1 on your FM dial, archived on the planet everywhere for anybody who wants to come join us. And if you have any questions for me, any ideas, or anything you'd like to participate, please contact me directly, scott@ardentcenter.com. Dr. Tim.
Yeah.
So tell us from your perspective. John gave a great introduction into this notion from a veteran's perspective, but this is obviously past just veterans. This is for everybody. And, you know, some people might listen to this and go, well, why... You know, why organic farming? Why biodynamic? What does any of this mean? And why would I not just do a regular farming program? What are you offering that's different?
Yeah, whenever I speak to young, successful farmers who have been doing organic farming for a couple of years, when I ask them, like, where did you learn all this stuff? Most of them are self-taught. You know, and one common thing that you see in most of the young farmers who are doing organic agriculture is that they have gone to the university, they have gone to different colleges, but they couldn't get those hands-on experience in those universities, especially the land-grant universities, because most of these universities are funded by the big agrochemical companies like Monsanto's and other companies. So they have an agenda to teach. They do not appreciate organic agriculture or low-cost farming methodologies. So I was thinking, like, how about developing hands-on experience to these youngsters who are very keen in growing food, growing local food? So since my specialization is in low-cost organic agriculture and biodynamic agriculture, I developed a draft program on a 9-month certificate course. So this 9-month certificate course will have 3 months of very practical theory classes, preferably in winter. And as spring sets in, they would be given 1/4 acre of land at our university campus, and they have to develop a business plan and start cultivating crops. So how this program is different from other university program is that there are two major international organizations. One is IFOM. IFOM is International Federation for Organic Agriculture Movements, which is based in Germany. It is an umbrella organization for organic agriculture worldwide. There are more than 1,000 farmers organizations from all over the world who are members of this organization, IFOM, and they're active in 120 countries. So they will be partnering in this particular program to share their experiences. And also there's another certification company for biodynamic agriculture called Demeter, which is based in California. They'll also be part of this entire program. So the purpose of this program is to address the present needs. The food is so polluted. The farming is totally against nature. It is a violent method of farming. So the more violent approach that we use for farming, the same violence also comes in the food. It is at a much subtler level. So whatever violence that we see, I feel it's all because of the food that we consume. What you sow, you reap. You have violent methods of applying fertilizers and genetically modified crops. You get food which is filled with violent energies.
But that's one way to think of it. But I think a simpler way, maybe not to be so cosmic about it, is literally the food today. Because people think, hey, if I'm eating healthy food, why don't I get all my vitamins from my food? Well, literally, the soil is depleted now. It's the statistics I read recently were less than a third of the nutritional value. So if you're having a tomato today versus a tomato from 50 years ago, the vitamin content is completely different. So it's the, yes, I understand doing mass agriculture might be more economically productive in some regards, but maybe from what you're saying, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, the large-scale agriculture is not economically beneficial to a very large extent, because 70% of the food requirement of this globe is met by large-scale small farmers who are more than 70% in numbers. Mm. They are all small landholders. Mm. It is not the big ag which is feeding the world population. And second, the soil is totally depleted by the modern agriculture practices. And the soil is devoid of elements which we require. It's so interesting that, you know, life took birth from ocean, and ocean has around 70 different elements, and those elements need to be present in soil. Some are present in parts per billion, very tiny amounts, and if the soil doesn't have those elements, the plants cannot absorb those elements, and the plants are devoid of those elements. Number one, the soil is totally depleted because of the modern practices. We need to improve the soil by simple low-cost practices. There are many simple low-cost practices that I teach my students. The second important thing is there is no spiritual connectivity with the soil. We use the word dirt in the United States to refer soil. From a very young age, if we start using such words, dirt means dirty, soil is dirty, soil is non-living. Soil is an example for non-living in the biology classes. So from the very young mind, we think that soil is a dead material, it's an inert material. When we don't connect ourselves, like the Eastern philosophy, we say mother as earth. In Italy, they say terra madre. In the Andean culture, in Peru and Chile, they say Machu Picchu, which means mother earth. So unless and until we rever these natural resources, we are not going to address this problem. So the spiritual connections, which is biodynamic agriculture. Biodynamic agriculture is an advanced form of agriculture with deep spiritual connections. Unless and until we get into those spiritual connections, we'll continue to pollute.
So your program addresses both the pragmatic as well as, let's say, spiritual, a higher calling, a higher purpose, as John was referring to earlier, having a greater purpose from yourself as well as from the land. You're saying essentially your program addresses multiple elements.
That's right. To address a problem in food and agriculture, it's not only the technological solution which is important. Technology is very important. We need to find appropriate technologies. We need to have right methods of breeding to produce seeds which retain those nutrients in them. All these things, technological solutions are very important. At the same time, cultural issues. At the same time, social solutions. At the same time, spiritual solutions are also very important to address these problems.
And you're saying your program could address some of these things.
My program would be an amalgamation of all these approaches, not restricted only to technological solutions. My interest is not to create robots, you know, who would know only particular technique. It is to create real human beings.
And you're saying this could also be, let's again be pragmatic, financially sustainable.
Absolutely.
That you could actually make better money, so to speak. Sorry to be crude about this, but let's say I don't believe in organic farming. I don't believe in biodynamic, which I still don't quite understand, which I wanted you to explain, but we only got a couple minutes. But you're saying financially, as a farmer, I can make more money doing it your method.
Absolutely, because agriculture is the only profession or only business venture wherein one unit of input gives you 10,000 units of output. Say you put one seed of rice, you are going to get 10,000 seeds of rice. You're planting one apple tree, you're getting 1,000 apples in return over the years. Mm. It is regenerative, it is self-replicating itself. So what I mean to say is that agriculture per se is profitable by itself. Mm. But the present form of agriculture, by monoculture, without diversity, without giving emphasis to the soil, which is which is like the investment. Soil is like the bank, you know. So we are depleting the soil, and agriculture is becoming a loss-making venture. So this course will provide hands-on experience for the farmers who can either become farmers themselves, or they can go out and promote these simple low-cost techniques. There are innumerable low-cost smart farming techniques.
As well as healing for several people. Anyways, I want to hear from Steve for just a second because we're almost out of time and Steve hasn't said a word here. And then hopefully we'll have more time and do another show here because you're fantastic. Tim, say something. What do you want to input here?
Yeah, I think you've really hit it on the head when you talk about the sense of purpose. There's really a national movement toward people interested in these agriculture programs, and not necessarily just academic programs, but these 9-month and short courses that Tim's describing. But it's that sense of purpose to people seeking, you know, to identify who am I, where am I going, and how am I going to get there. And as you've heard from Tim, it's much more than just, can I learn a tool or a technique? It's about, how do I become part of something much bigger than this for myself, for my family, for my community? And I think that's probably the most compelling piece about this program. There are so many out there, but I think people will self-select into something that is bigger and deeper and has that healing component that you've identified.
And I love how you're sort of bringing in what you do, because it is sort of like a career counseling kind of notion. In a sense, it really, the way you're describing this is incorporating that spirit, that sense of purpose as well. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I here to do? A healing technique for veterans, as you mentioned, John, or for other people, with this notion of pragmatically, you can make actually more money doing it this way. In a shorter period of time, I can show you how to do that. And, oh, by the way, your food's going to be healthier. What a concept.
Yeah, I think that's really the transformative piece of this. When you start to understand the economic development aspects of this for a state like Iowa, you know, what Tim's talking about is, one, good for individuals who are passionate about agriculture, but it's transformative for an economy that desperately needs transformation. And that's what we're looking at in rural Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. So last closing comments from everyone. Time goes fast on these programs. John, anything else you want to say to close out?
Well, I would just mention that a year ago, I realized that the program is broader than just the farmer, just the veteran farmer. But a year ago, I went to the first annual conference of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. There were representatives there, about 155 from 38 states, that were sharing about their veteran programs, and it made me aware of how broad the need is and how we could significantly contribute to it here with a unique approach that would, I think, be much more attractive than the standard farming approach.
Yeah, I feel everyone is a farmer by intent, you know. Some harvest the produce from the farm, others harvest the produce from the supermarket, you know. So this program would provide hands-on experiences on simple techniques which are low-cost, utilizing the natural resources, which would create self-sufficiency and build in the local economy. So, yeah.
Or even your local garden. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much, everybody. Steve, John, Tim, thank you so much. And hopefully we'll have time and we'll do another one of these. This is fantastic. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.